Greetings, Losties. This is Ian Lee, and you're listening to The Lost Initiative, the show where we delve into the mysteries of the greatest TV show of all time, Lost. I'm joined in the bunker, as always, by Paul Terry.
Evening.
And Geeky Tom.
Hello.
So, what do we think to this week's episode, The Murderer Within?
Well, I was quite surprised there was actually a murderer within. I thought it was going to be like a double bluff, and it was going to be someone more, I don't know how we say, like, without. Tom, would you say that? Is that the sort of word you'd use?
So, yeah, guys, you do remember that Lost finished about a million years ago, and we don't do this anymore.
Ben Linus was very confusing in his, because you can never tell if, I still think he's a bad guy.
That's what I mean. I don't think he's even the man within at all. I think he's the other man. Like capital O, he's the other man. He's
Tom, what do you reckon?
I mean, if I could somehow describe myself walking away from this conversation and out of the building, I would do via radio, but unfortunately, I can't. Just be quiet and go home, you sad men. I've got a job now. I get paid for work. I don't know what you guys do, but you know, I have a girlfriend now. I don't live at home with my parents like I used to back in those days. So, you know, I would just say, just go home. Just please go home.
Hello dear listener, Ian Lee here, and welcome to episode 5 of the Ian Lee Pocket Radio Show. And I don't know how to start this. I'm genuinely touched, as I keep saying, the success of the podcast. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and more downloads, and that's down to you guys. Very busy show this week. It's genuinely been unbongoed until Wednesday the 21st of March 2012. Remember that, kids? That was years ago. I was lucky enough to go to the screening of episode 1 of the new series of The Apprentice, and I got to speak to Nick Hewer and Karen Brady. It was weird. It was like it's called a round table event. I'd never been to one before. Basically, there were me and 4 other reporters literally surrounding Karen and Nick and shoving our microphones in their faces and asking questions as quickly as we could. So you'll hear a couple of other people asking some questions. I'd never done one of these before. We didn't have much time, about 4 or 5 minutes. We were rushed into a room, and it started as soon as we got in the room. And I've got this big old chunky Marantz recorder, and I couldn't get the bugger to work. So literally, for the first minute and a half of this interview, I'm shoving a microphone in their face, pretending I'm recording them when I'm not. I didn't want to look stupid. I'm fiddling with the Marantz, making it look like I'm just changing and adjusting the levels. I was trying to get the thing to work. So it kind of cuts in halfway through the interview. I also got to see a little bit more of Karen Brady than I'd expected to. Ooh. ian@ianlee.com. I'll shut up now, shall I? Here are your phone calls.
Hello, Ian, and hello all. It's Thomas Walsh of Pugwash, here to tell you all about our new album, The Olympus Sound, out on CD and on the wonderful Urgings label on the 2nd of April. Go grab yourself one of each.
Line 6, you're keen. You're live on the internet. Who's this? What do you want?
Hello.
Hello.
It's Brad from Bristol again.
Brad from Bristol.
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
How's it going?
Okay.
Yeah, I rang up a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I rang up about the TV program Scrubs, and then
Yes.
You said back about
Scrubs.
My girlfriend.
Yes. So, you broke up with your girlfriend. How long have you been going out with her for?
Well, we were together 9 months, and then we broke up, got back together, and now we're broke up again.
Of course you've broken up, Brad. I knew it was going to happen. Who did the breaking up this time?
I did in the end, yeah.
It was obvious, man. You so didn't want to go out with her.
I know.
What happened? Tell me, was it me that made you realise that you didn't love her?
Yeah, not really, no, sort of. Well, I don't know. A little bit. I guess you influenced it.
Oh, God. I feel a little bit guilty now.
No, it's fine. Just a mess, wasn't it? It's just a bit of a mess of a relationship. Tell her to pack her bags and go.
Wow, so, you were that rude about it.
I wasn't that bad. Just said to her, look, obviously, like, that we weren't working out, and she agreed, so just went our separate ways. But
the best way to dump a girl, and the best way to do it, I found, and I think a lot of blokes will think the same thing, is to make the girl, over a period of time, hate you so that she dumps you. And you don't have to, like, you don't have to be nasty and burn her cat or anything, but just slowly kind of do lots of things that she doesn't like, and then eventually she'll go, oh, I hate you, I'm leaving you. Oh, really? Yeah. Wonderful. And then you haven't done anything bad, particularly. Yeah.
No, not really, but I didn't really have that amount of time on my hands.
you wanted out. And so have you got your eye on anybody at the moment?
Nah, not really. Back on the dating website now.
On a bacon website, did you say? Is this how you met the last one?
Nah. I met the last one at a party about 2 years ago now. So.
Now, dating websites, is it true that it's just full of sex?
Nah, it's not. That's the complete opposite, actually, because I ain't getting any from anything at the moment.
But still, some of those pictures, you could probably, you know... Could you?
Yeah, there's a few on there, and like, look at, and I think, oh God, no, I wouldn't even give you a little message,
wouldn't even give you a little message, let alone insert myself inside you. Now, Brett, this brings us on to one of the topics this evening is we are talking about sexy animals. What animals do you find sexy?
I don't know. That's a good question, actually. A koala bear is quite sexy, wouldn't you say? Slow and deceiving, like, it's teasing you a little bit when it moves. Wouldn't you find?
It is. Koala bear is a little flirt, definitely. It's a little tease. They're so cute, aren't they? But they can scratch.
Yeah. I heard they're quite vicious when you get up close. If you annoy them.
Are we talking about girls here, Brad, or are we still talking about koala bears? You know what I'm saying? The koala bear will go on the list, Brad. Thank you for that. And also, we are asking. I'm asking every caller to set a topic for the next caller.
So I have to pick a question for the next caller.
Yeah, something like that. Let's see how far this goes.
I want to ask something good.
It would be brilliant if you could ask something good, definitely.
Would you rather kiss Susan Boyle or David Cameron?
Oh, it would have to be. I'll leave my answer to myself. Brad, lovely to talk to you. Let me know how your love life goes.
Okay, cheers, Ian.
Lad, there we go. Fantastic. It becomes like a soap opera, this show, with people calling in and telling me what's going on in their lives. And I like that. That's nice. Line 3, you're live on the internet. Who is this and what on earth do you want?
Hi, it's Alan Caddick.
Hello, Alan Caddick.
How are you doing, Ian?
I'm okay. What can I do for you, Alan Caddick?
Topics, please.
Okay, well, we've been set a question by the previous caller, and that question is, who would you rather snog, Susan Boyle or David Cameron?
Oh, David Cameron.
Yeah, I bet you would.
Yeah.
And what animals do you find sexy?
Iguanas.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to line 9. You're live on the internet, line 9.
Hello, Ian Lee. How are you doing?
I'm fine. You have me at a disadvantage, sir.
Why is that?
You know all of my names. I know none of yours.
My name's Billy. I've spoken to you before.
Hello, Billy.
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Do you know what I mean? It's been a very, very long day today. But I am very pleased with the end result. So it's been
good.
I think I just broke my big toe as I was talking to you then. I've suddenly got a shooting pain in my big toe.
Well, you know what to do, don't you?
Amputate.
Swear.
Oh, no. I decided today.
Yeah.
I swear too much. Right. So.
Yeah, I agree. Not I agree that you swear too much, but I do too, I think.
I do swear quite a bit. And I'm gonna start a proper swear box. I'm gonna put a quid in it every time I swear, and at the end of it,
yeah.
I'm gonna spend all the money on a big book of swear words. No, I don't know what, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll do something with it, because I'll make a fortune for someone with
it. It's a waste. It's a waste of the language, isn't it?
Well, sometimes, my wife and I argue about this, sometimes I think that a well-timed F-bomb, or even a C-bomb, can be very, very funny.
Hilarious.
It can be hilarious. But yeah. My wife disagrees. She thinks there's never any excuse for swearing.
Right, okay. Well, my dad's a bit like that. In fact, I think I've probably uttered two swear words to my dad, even now I'm 32.
Well, your dad and my wife are both completely wrong.
Yeah, no, I totally agree there. The C-bomb is particularly the best.
If you get a C-bomb...
at the right moment. At the
right moment.
Moment.
You've got to get it at the right moment, and it is very, very entertaining. And Billy, what can I do for you this evening?
Sexy animals.
Sexy animals. We just had Brad on the line, who pretended he couldn't think of a sexy animal, then quite quickly said koalas. And koala bears.
Wow.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? What do you think's a sexy animal?
Well, I've got a bit of a crossover, because I know you've spoken about sexy cartoon characters before.
Yep, yep.
But the Caramel Bunny.
Oh, she's filth, isn't she?
On all levels, she's a wrong'un.
But I'm going to have to be strict with you here, in a way that I never would have been on LBC or Absolute Radio. I need an actual animal. I cannot accept cartoon animals.
What about a camel? With the long eyelashes and sort of...
I instantly think of the humps and the kind of... But the eyes, it's got a very sexy face. Gorgeous.
Yeah, that's it. Maybe, I want that llama.
Yeah, you're... Ha! Bang! You've totally got it, man. You have totally got it. Yes, a llama. Fantastic. Yeah. Billy, lovely to talk to you. I'm going to move on because we've got quite a few more calls coming in. It's very, very busy on the lines this evening. Let me take this one. And line three, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Good evening. It's the Tissue Dude.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, how you doing? One of the biggest issues and the serious misuse of the...
Disused tissues?
Yes, but I've been learning the ukulele and I thought I might play you a little song.
Brother, get on there. Come on, this is what it's all about. This is what the
internet
was created
for, kids. One, two, three, four. When I go painting the windows to an anonymous bob, to a nosy partner, it's an interesting job. It's a job that just sent me the window cleaner. I would be, you'd be surprised the things I see when I'm cleaning windows. What do you reckon?
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Lines 6 and 3, you're live on the internet. Who's there, please?
It's Kate.
Hello there, it's David from Sutton.
hello, David from Sutton. David, say hello to Kate. Come on, be a gentleman, for God's sakes.
Hello, Kate.
Hello,
holding
David.
The door open for you if you want to pop in.
Oh, my, thank you.
Do you, Kate, are you one of these girls that likes doors being open for you?
I don't mind. I'm not offended if it doesn't happen.
You'd like the same pay as men as well, would you?
Yeah,
do you see where I'm going there? How is that fair? Kate, you want the same money as me, and yet you want me to hold a door open for you, Kate? Seriously?
I'd hold a door open for you.
Oh, in that case, that's fine. Thanks very much.
I've opened 8 jars today, and I don't see how that's fair at all.
And do you have a partner, David?
No, I just like opening jars. It was in Sainsbury's. They were furious.
I can imagine that didn't go down very well.
I was on a tube, right? This is the first time this has ever happened, and I accepted it, but I thought, I've turned a corner. I was on a tube. And a seat became available, and there was a young lady there, probably about 20, and I said, oh, do you want the seat? She went, that's okay, mister, you take it.
Oh.
She thought I was an old man! She thought I was an old man!
What do you mean she thought you were an old man? You're not young anymore, Ian.
I am 38 years old, right? And I am not yet 40, so I am past it. Yes, I'll give you that, David. I'm completely past it. Bored.
Well on your way.
Well on my way. How old are you, David? What, 12 or something?
27.
Oh, you're so young.
And Kate, I'm not going to ask, but how old are you? 46. 46.
How old do you think I am?
Well, I have a guess. I just said 46 twice.
Seriously?
47.
You didn't, oh, God.
48.
No,
you
I'm
really
32. 50?
You're what?
32.
I'm looking at a picture of you. Or is that your mother? I don't know.
You are just simply rude. I don't know what picture you're looking at.
I'm joking.
Sunglasses.
I'm looking at the one with your jubblies out. And boy, oh boy.
Can you send the link in the chat? Ian.
Yes, I will. There are cheers, no jobless, Kate. Come on, for goodness sakes, calm down. We've got young ears listening to this.
Don't be rude.
David, apologise.
Sorry about that. Sorry about your jubblies.
Now,
it's not you that needs to apologise, it's Ian.
I've done nothing wrong, madam. And I'll cut out any bit that I do wrong, so it'll be you two that look like you're evil. Now, Kate, I do apologise. We're having a little bit of banter, and let's just say it's got out of hand slightly. Kate,
I'm not offended.
Good. What can I do for you this evening, Kate?
Oh, what can you do for me?
Sorry?
Oh, I don't know.
Look, I'm assuming that you called in, that you had a reason for calling in.
Yes, I did. Well, just to say hello, really. Also, looked at the topics. Really, no such thing as a sexy animal.
Well, hang on a second. I'm going to stop you there, right? Brad phoned up at the start, straight in with koalas, right?
No,
Billy came on, llamas. Now,
no.
I'm saying those are two hot animals. I'll also give you young cats, not kittens. Let's not even go there. Right,
let's not even go there.
Young cat with a little red ribbon in its hair, or a pony again with a little red ribbon in its hair, looking over its shoulder, winking. Beautiful. Are you telling me, Kate, that you find no animal sexy?
Pretty much.
Hold on. I bet I can think of one.
Go on.
Mermaid. And the merman, the Zeus one.
Yeah.
I bet you fancied him a little
now,
bit.
But surely a mermaid is like a dolphin, and that's a mammal.
Yeah, dolphins.
Yeah, I don't
quite
think a mermaid counts as a person.
No, it counts as an animal.
No, it counts as an animal even, sorry. See, no, you've got me all kerfuddled.
Yeah, you're getting flustered at the thought of all these mermen.
Speaking of the Zeus.
I'm so excited at the thought of mermen. No, I mean, how could they turn you on? I mean, they don't even
Have you not seen Splash?
Yes.
That is one of the sexiest movies known to man.
Yeah, but I'm not a man, am I? I'm a woman.
Good point. You've got me. She's got me on a technicality there. What was your name again, sir? David. That was it. Yes.
Dave. Yeah. Have you seen a blowhole up close?
Beg your pardon.
That's a dolphin. What? We're talking dolphins, somewhere. Right?
Oh, you. Is that not those holes they have in toilet walls? Oh, you mean the hole on the top of a dolphin's head?
Yes.
I have. It's got like a flap on it.
Pretty sexy.
Okay. Again, this is entering. Okay. Dolphins are the only creatures that have sex for pleasure.
Is that true?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Amazing.
Yeah, well,
monkeys love it, don't they? They love all that.
Well,
I don't even need another monkey there, and they're enjoying it.
on that bombshell, ladies and gentlemen, we'll say good evening to you. Thank you very much. Line three, you're live on the internet. Who's this, please?
Oh, hello, Ian. It's Ryan again.
Hello, Ryan again.
Oh, hello, Ian. Phoned in a few weeks ago. Made you laugh with the old slip and slide, aren't
you? They did make me laugh.
Oh, it was very nice, wasn't it?
Yes.
How's life on the iTunes chart?
Well, we've had a little boost on the iTunes chart. iTunes have got behind the show. They've been doing a lot of promo. We've gone back up. Although I suspect when you listen back, the phone calls before you with Kate and David, they're very, very low class. I suspect that once iTunes hears that, we'll get an explicit rating and we will be taken out of the iTunes chart. I think that's what's going to happen.
Yes. Oh, we wouldn't want that to happen because...
It's pretty likely.
Quite like hearing my voice on the radio.
Well, you'll still be able to download it, but I suspect that... By the way, you naughty, naughty people who've been posting rude zero-star reviews on iTunes, how dare you?
What are they doing with their
iTunes? iTunes sends me all of your home addresses and telephone numbers, and I will be round to protest.
You're going to have an angry Ian on your
patch. Angry Ian on your patch.
Oh my god, I don't like the sound of that. I'm going to vote 5 stars right now, too.
I'm going to vote for 5 star as well. Let's go to line three. Three, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Ian, it's Phil. What subject are we talking about?
Well, Phil, we've got... we've kind of gone off the subject a little bit. Let's bring this back on track. Thank you for calling in, Phil. We have sexy animals. We're also celebrating the magic of mums. I'm supposed to be getting all the callers to set the topic for the next caller as well. So let's do these one at a time. Sexy animals.
I don't know. Young deers are quite sexy, aren't they? You know, padding about.
Do you know what? I knew. Some people said, don't do that topic, Ian, because you will struggle. No one will answer it. They'll just think it's... Everybody has come up with a different sexy animal so far. And you bang on there. Deers are well horny. Line two, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Yeah, hiya.
Hello.
Hi, is that Ian?
Yes, who's this?
Right, this is Jason. I'm quite surprised I've got straight through from the first ring. So you're not very busy?
Well, no, the thing is, because I'm doing this on the internet and that my producer in my luxury Soho studio has popped out, I'm having to answer all the calls. So there'll be lots and lots of calls, and I can only take one or two of them. People can't get through, so they stop ringing, and then suddenly it's like blank for a second. But as soon as yours came up, I knew yours was going to be an excellent, excellent call, so that's why I took it.
Well, well done, my friend. You've hit the jackpot.
Well, I'm not quite so sure now I'm listening to you talk, but let's see where we go. What have you got
right,
for
first of all, what are your subjects? Have you got any subjects?
Sexy animals.
Sexy animals?
Yeah.
So, zoophilia.
Well, no, that's sexy zoos.
You don't want to go that far. You just want to dress them up and look at them or take photographs of them.
Well, I don't even need to take photographs. Some animals are naturally sexy. Should I give you some of the examples we've had so far?
Obviously, the feline world is remarkably sexy.
Okay. A female leopard?
Yeah.
You totally would. I don't mean anything...
Wouldn't.
I don't mean anything seedy or perverse. I just mean you think they're sexy and you'd like to spend a night with them in a hotel room.
Ian, if I said to you, I've got a black, silky jaguar, female, you would think, yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yep, I probably would. Yeah.
You definitely would.
Okay.
Right, I was going to give you some advice, actually.
Oh, advice? Yes. What was your name again, fella?
Jason.
Jason, please, give me some advice. Yes, please.
Right, you know Adam Carolla?
No.
You don't? Right, okay. He does a podcast in America. I'm surprised you don't know him.
Because
he's quite a revered chap. He's a very good broadcaster.
Okay, Adam Carolla. Okay, right.
Yeah, and his podcast is great. It's really great. And he has got what's called a podcast network. And Penn Jillette, you know him?
Yes, of course. Penn and Teller, yes, the magician man.
And there's another guy called Larry Miller. I don't really know him. Not the one from U2.
Okay.
But anyway, if you set up a collection of clips, maybe some Barry clips and some ambient clips, you know, from Absolute, you could maybe get on his podcast network because he's the number one podcaster in the world. Guinness Book of Records, number one.
You're telling me I could be a big success somewhere in the world. Well, the
thing
is,
in America,
I can't give him Absolute clips because I don't own the copyright.
Well, I can't. Fair enough. Reenact the Absolute clips, the best ones.
What? Hang on. Are you telling me that there are no excellent clips in the Ian Lee Pocket Radio Show?
Oh, yeah, okay, sorry.
Yeah, come on, man, this is number 14 in the iTunes general chart, not the comedy chart, the general chart, sir.
What are you in the comedy chart?
I don't know, I was about 9 earlier on today when I kept checking it.
It's a little downheartening, because the first time you were number one, straight into number one.
No, not downheartening at all. I tell you, the podcast, the iTunes chart is a strange, mysterious beast.
Rigged.
It's not rigged, but it's weird. It's not done on the number of downloads.
Yeah.
It's done on the number of new subscriptions, and then it's also something to do with reviews as well. I don't quite understand that bit. But so it went to number one because it was got a load of new subscriptions, and then it doesn't get so many new subscriptions now. But may I say, without giving away the numbers, the figures are very, very impressive.
Yeah, well done. That's fantastic. You're a very good broadcaster.
Well, you see. We'll get there.
Yeah, and, well, I don't think you realise how good you are. I mean, part of the reason is because radio is just atrocious in the UK. And anybody who's any good, you know, Ian Collins, Danny Baker, James Whale, they usually get the sack. But it's good that we've got podcasts now because the internet always promised, that we'd have a forum for, free speech.
We're getting it. It will be nice. I'm very pleased to say we've got people advertising on the show now, which is awesome and it's wonderful and I'm really happy about that. It would be nice if I could pay my mortgage with this. I can't, but it's making a little bit of cash and I'm very happy for that. But it would be nice to pay the mortgage. But we'll see. We're getting there. Listen, I'm going to move on, Jimmy, because we're getting very geeky. I don't want to get too geeky. But thank you very much for calling. Let us go to line 3. 3, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Ian. It's Phil again. I was on a couple of minutes ago.
Oh, Phil, you wanted to play Gary versus Barry, did you? Okay, I'm going to see if I can put you through to someone. I don't quite understand.
Ian?
Yes?
Good afternoon, good evening.
Oh, hang on, Ian. There's somebody on the line. There's two people. Right, so who's on the line? Phil?
Hello, it's me, Wilkes. How you doing?
Hang on a minute. Hey, calm down. One at a time. I said Phil. Phil, you're there.
Phil's here, yes.
And did you say Wilkes?
It's me, Wilkes.
Oh, Jesus.
I Wilkes.
Phil.
Hello, mate. Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, good, good, good. Missing the Mr. Lee on the radio, I must admit.
And Wilts and Phil, you've both got exactly the same voice.
Yeah, I actually thought it was me talking, which is a bit strange.
Wow.
Okay.
But nice. But yeah, so how you doing, young man? You okay?
I'm all right, mate. Can we play a bit of Gary versus Barry?
A bit of what?
Gary versus Barry.
Yeah, go for it.
Are we doing the Swedish rules?
I don't know what the rules are, but go ahead.
Okay, I'll go first.
Wilts, if you haven't been so busy listening to bloody Adam and Joe and sticking your tongue up their backside, then you'd know what the blooming rules are.
How very rude.
Carry on.
Blue.
Green.
Oh, wait a minute. Orange.
Pink.
Oh, blancmange.
As Ian would say, oh, blancmange. Angel Delight.
Oh, Phil, I'm not allowed to help, but I would say seize the day, sir.
It's a good mini. Bananas. Orange.
Is that orange?
I win,
sure. Excellently played. Well done, sir. Line 9, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Oh, hello, my name's Mark.
Ah, at last someone who doesn't sound like they're calling from underwater. Good evening, Mark. Or
good evening,
good morning,
yeah.
Or good afternoon, because we are living in the time shift world of the podcasted internet. Or something. Mark, what can I do for thee?
Yeah, something. I see your topics today. Yep. One of my favourite sexy animals, I'd say, was a camel.
Now, you're the second person to say camel. Why do you find the camel so erotic?
I think it may be the long eyelashes.
Yeah, that's exactly what the other fella said. Because when he said really? It, I thought the camel was a hideous, hideous beast, but it does have amazing eyelashes and great lips.
It does, the lips, and the way it looks over its shoulder and kind of smiles at you as well. I like that bit.
Mark, can I just say that the topics this evening, sexy animals, we're celebrating the magic of mums because it's kind of, it has just been Mother's Day, and we're asking people to set questions or topics for the next caller.
Okay.
Everybody, nobody's called in about Mother's Day. Everyone has called in about sexy animals. Now, does that mean that we are more into having relationships with animals than our mums?
I think our mums are very special, but I think, for me, a camel just takes it by hair's width, from my mum.
Wow. And are you buying a camel any presents this weekend?
I might buy it some peanuts, normally for elephants, but I think camels like them as well. And I might buy it some goat's milk.
You know, camels can store... imagine if they made bras for camels' humps.
There'd be big bras, yeah.
Ooh. You know they store water in their humps?
Yes.
If I was in a desert, right, and I was really thirsty and I had a camel, could I cut one of its humps off and put a straw in there?
You could do, but you'd have to ask the camel's permission first, I think.
Ah, bloody camels with their big humps. Mark, listen, I'm going to pursue this next one because I really want this to not be a complete waste of time. Have you got a topic for the next caller?
Yeah, I was thinking of one, actually. When I was younger...
Yeah.
This is like from when you're younger, childhood memories.
Yeah.
I always remember I used to go to like this balloon show in the South England, Bewley.
Yes.
And I want to know like something like in your past, it's never happened again. Like there's no more balloon shows in England. You used to see loads of hot air balloons everywhere.
Hot air balloons. Okay. So there's a question. Have you ever been to a hot air balloon?
You could do that one, yeah.
Okay, Mark. Thank you very much. Let's Line 9, you're live on the internet. Have you ever been to a hot air balloon?
No, I've never been to a hot air balloon.
Thanks very much for calling. Line 12, you're live on the internet.
Ian, it's Phil again.
Hello, Phil!
I just won the Gary versus Barry and you cut me off.
Yes, I did.
Hello?
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 Yes?
Yes?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yes?
Yes?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, yes.
Hello, yes, hello.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
No. Line 3, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Jeez!
Oh, Christ. Let's try this. Ah, oh, look, here's a nice message from Moz. On the subject of magic of mums. Well done, Moz, for being the first person to talk about magic mums. My mum was the kindest, most generous person I've ever known. She raised me single-handedly and never complained. We brought out the best and the worst of each other. That's what you do with mums. We wouldn't have it anyway. On Monday, I will hold her funeral, but she'll live on in my head and heart forever. Oh, Moz, I'm sorry, mate. This is the thing. Mums are the best, okay? I've had a very rocky relationship with my dad, which I'm just starting to rebuild after years of not having any relationship. But Mum has always been there, and I love Mums. My mum is completely bonkers, by the way. I think I've said this before, that once when I used to be a biter when I was a kid, and at the age of 3, I bit my sister, and then I bit my cat and threw him down the stairs, and my mum bit my arm. Oh, I never bit another thing again. Line 9, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, and what on earth do you want?
It's Mr. Fuzzy.
Hey, Mr. Fuzzy.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi.
Yeah.
I've got to say, tonight I think is the best phone-in I've ever done. Not just on the Pocket Radio Show, but ever.
Excellent. That's good. I'm going to try and keep the tone up then, and I'm going to go sexy animals, chipmunks.
Oh, now, yeah, that's an obvious one, but no one said that yet. You're absolutely spot on.
Yeah, very horny are chipmunks.
What about Alvin?
Maybe not so much Alvin. Female version of Alvin.
Alvina.
Alvina.
Malvinas. Ah, the Malvinas. Let's give those back to the Argentinians, shall we?
I don't know. I'm not too keen on giving it back.
Why?
Can we have some money for it?
Well, yeah, all right. Well, let's sell it to them, then. For what I know. £500?
How much?
£500.
That's 500 more than I've got, so yeah, I'm keen on that.
Well, you won't get you don't get it.
Oh, what do I get then?
That's a good question. You get the knowledge that they're back home where they belong.
Why do they belong with Argentina?
Well, because they're nearer to Argentina than they are to us.
Well, that means nothing.
Thanks for calling. Line 3, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
Oh, hi, it's Gafford.
Oh, Gafford. Well, marvellous to...
Did you hear from me?
What can I do for you?
Can I just say, Gaffer? This
has been the best phone-in I've ever done, right? And not just on Pocket Radio Show. Phone-in I've ever done on Absolute. Better than anything I've done on LBC. Better than anything I did on Six Music. Better than anything I did on XFM or Horizon. This is the best, Gafford.
Shut up.
If you in any way ruin the quality of this phone-in, I will come down on you like a ton of blood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, away you go, Gatford. With bearing that in mind, what have you got for us?
It's fine. I have my topic ready for the next caller.
Well, let me just say, that's not really been taken off. No one's called in to talk about mums. No one's had a topic for the next caller, maybe one person. Everyone wants to talk about sexy animals.
Oh, I'm quite happy to talk about how brilliant mums are.
Go on, how brilliant is your mum?
Well, my mum is brilliant. I mean, my mum was brilliant. When I first moved out of home, she still used to cook me dinners and bring them round. But mums tend to do that. They cook you what you think is your favourite dinner.
Yes.
But I forgot to tell my mum that I didn't actually like that dinner. And every time she brought it round, I didn't have the heart to tell her, so I gave it to one of my roommates.
What dinner was it?
It was a shepherd's pie. I like them now, but
your mum used to give you a shepherd's pie?
Yeah. It was like every week.
That seems a bit inappropriate.
Well, no, it's nice with mints and potato on top.
Oh, you mean the actual shepherd's pie? I thought you. Oh, well, that's lovely, lovely.
Yeah. So I didn't realise there was another meaning to it.
So you claim to have a topic. Cause I think this is a genius idea.
It's a good idea. Yes. You inspired me a little bit with your coming down on me. You know,
yes.
What's heavier, a ton of blood? Or a ton of bricks.
Well, bricks are, of course, because blood is liquid.
Yeah, but it's still a ton.
Yeah, but it's liquid. It's a liquid ton, which is not the same as a brick ton. Hey, you're going to like this. You're going to like this, Gatford, because you bummed The Apprentice, right?
Okay.
I went to this episode. This is episode 5, okay? And this is going to be released on Wednesday the 21st. The day, the 21st of, what is it, March 2012.
March.
Because that's the day that The Apprentice starts, okay? And I went to see the first episode of The Apprentice, and I got to interview Karen and Nick, right? And their interview is unbongoed, right? It means I can't broadcast it until the 21st of March. I had to wear a badge that said Ian Lee, Absolute Radio.
What?
Now, I never said I was coming from Absolute Radio. They assumed I was coming from, so I had to pretend to be from Blimmin' Absolute.
Did you have to cut, like, say, yeah, oh, and coming up next, Christian O'Connell?
Yeah, I had to do that. Who's calling Christian? So I had to do that. Anyway,
indeed, yeah.
So I got to interview Karen and Nick. Now, hopefully that interview will be in this episode, episode 5
right,
of
yeah.
the Pocket Radio Show. I say okay. hopefully because there were five of us. We got like five of us together to go and interview them. Right. And we had 4 minutes. Okay. For the first minute of that 4 minutes, I could not get my blooming tape recorder to record. Right.
Aww.
So for the first minute, I am pretending to record them and pretending I'm fiddling with the levels when really I'm desperately trying to get the bloody tape recorder to work.
Did you just hold the microphone up? So
yeah, I held the microphone at them and it wasn't recording anything. Now, I've not listened back yet to hear if anything has recorded. So, hang on. I've got the tape recorder here. Let me see if I can get this thing to work.
I was going to say, if it doesn't work, maybe we could get a lady on the line and we can just, like, me, you and the lady can recreate it.
Now, I've got to tell you something, right? I saw something that I shouldn't have seen. Yeah, no, I did.
What did you say?
I did, right?
You did, didn't you?
I did. I totally did, right? Right. So I've got the tape recorder here. I've got it working. Let's see if it recorded any of the interview. I've genuinely not listened to this back. And if this has recorded the interview, then we're going to go into the interview in the podcast. Here we go.
Okay.
Had dreams of that.
Oh, you can hear them!
It could be them!
Do you think, like the rest of us, that Lord Sugar was getting ready?
Oh, my God!
It's always a difficult.
Oh, it recorded. Okay, that's okay. That's brilliant. That means that A, you've had the ending of the episode slightly ruined for you, Gatford, and B, it's recorded. So I tell you what, let's listen to Nick and Karen now.
No input. They're sort of weeded out. The wannabes are weeded out. And this is exactly what happens then. The programme is produced and aired. And when it's aired, by about week three, the public begin to recognise them. And that's when the sort of agents call. And within a few short weeks, the greengrocer thinks he's Brad Pitt. Right? Because he's getting attention from people that he never dreamt of getting attention before. And that's what happens. In a nutshell, they don't start wanting to be media stars, but they are tempted during broadcast. And one or two of them become. I mean, Kate Walsh has done rather well. That's not what she intended in the beginning, and so has James Max and Syra Khan. None of them had dreams of that beforehand. It just happens.
Do you think, like the rest of us, that Lord Sugar...
I think it's always a difficult decision who goes, particularly in the first week. And it's interesting that I've always said that I think there's two parts to this show. There's out on task and then there's in the boardroom. And you need one sort of strategy for when you're out on task and you need an absolutely different one for being in the boardroom. And we've seen it before. People can talk themselves, you know, into it. What happened in that instance?
What was clear, of course, intelligent, clearly just wanted to be the star, and I think the ability to be a team player is very important, and I think that Lord Sugar spotted the fact that I never get on with any of them, or indeed perhaps eventually with him.
How do you feel you're now a TV star?
Well, I'm not a TV star, actually, at all. I do odds and sods because I've got nothing else to do. And the money's quite good.
No, but you count down. You are, you know, now style icon, sex god, Nick, they say.
No, I'm not a sex god, or indeed a sex idol. Some silly newspaper said I was a sex symbol. I would say a sex thimble of advancing years. And I think the whole thing's silly, but, you know, what the hell. No, I'm good with the words. I'm not so good with the numbers. Let's leave that to Rachel, who is an extraordinary young woman. Let's stick to The Apprentice, eh?
And before I leave Apprentice, a Lord Sugar in Dictionary Corner ever?
Possibly not. Possibly not. I don't think that spelling is one of his greatest fortes.
During any of the tasks, are they ever so stupid you feel like stepping in and going, what on earth are you doing?
The tasks are never stupid. Some of the decisions made along the tasks are questionable. And actually, it's one of those things where you have to bite your tongue and you're always holding back and you just end up shaking your head the whole time. And very often at the end of a very long day, Nick and I have to go for a gin and tonic, don't we, Nick?
Yeah.
Because we're literally worn out, we're shaking our heads.
Yeah, gin and tonic or two. But also, let's just step back a bit and remember that these young people are thrown into a cauldron weeks long. And the intensity, the pressure really is terrific. And I guess, you know, sometimes that if I were their age under that sort of pressure, I too would make very foolish mistakes. Don't underestimate, you know, what they're going through. They're not mugs. They're not mugs. It's the format, a format that has magic in it, and that magic has carried it through into its eighth series, and it's a worldwide success. It is an extraordinary format. And what makes it so special in this country is Sugar. Mm. I can't imagine anybody else doing what he does. We see him in operation. He sees not one inch of film before he goes into that boardroom. Well, he doesn't see it in the boardroom, obviously. He has seen nothing. And it's just down to Karen and I to brief him. And he goes in there as though he knows everything. That's down to our briefing. But also, he's red hot in that boardroom.
Do you ever think he makes the wrong decision?
If I can just go first on that, I think he has a couple of times. With Miriam Staley, all those years ago, she went on to become sponsorship boss at Lloyd's. He admitted afterwards maybe he had, but generally speaking, he's spot on. I don't know whether you'd agree with that, Karen.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we brief him, but he is the person that has to invest with the individual. So he's looking for somebody that he trusts, he wants to work with, somebody who can fit into his organisation, fit into his way of working, somebody who gets him and he can get them. And that's very, very important to him. And I think the most incredible thing about Alan is his sheer integrity and his honesty in his approach. You know, sometimes he'll admit himself, he you know, maybe he hasn't, you know, kept someone through to see a little bit more of them. But actually, every decision he makes, he does it with integrity, and that's why the show's so great. You believe him when he says, I'm not happy, or I'm happy, or I forgive you, or I won't forgive you. That's because that's his a genuine thought in his mind, and no one can persuade him what to do. He makes his own decisions after listening carefully to what we have to say.
What? Sex. God, Nick, have you seen the letters we get?
James, what can I do for you?
Fucking heck, I'm a bit nervous here, I don't know what I'm doing.
why, James, whoa, hey, listen, why are you nervous? At the moment, it's literally just you and me, no one can hear us. Yes, in just a few days' time, I don't know, maybe 50, 60,000 people will be listening to you, but until then, James, it's just you and me having a weird, not kinky, chat on the internet.
Fair enough. To be honest, I don't know what I'm talking about,
Okay, let me help you. What animals do you find sexy?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Why? Come on, I'll go through the list. We've had koalas, we've had camels, we've had, did we have lemurs? We had leopards, we had panthers.
Cheetah.
See, listen. If you think about it, you'll find something. And what is it about the cheetah that really, really gets you, you know?
I don't know. Probably from watching Thundercats when I'm a kid.
Man, some of those Thundercats were. Who was the sexy Thundercat?
It's been so long since I've seen it, I can't remember.
You know, they made a new series of Thundercats, but it's all like manga styly.
Oh, I hate manga.
Yeah, me too. I'm not. No, I know I like manga. Hang on a minute. He's about to get me to say something just for the sake of saying it. I like manga.
No, I'm not. No, manga's not my kind of thing. It's normal comics, yeah, but not manga.
James, can I ask, what's your accent? I'm trying to place it and I can't.
I'm Scottish. I come from Montrose, halfway between Aberdeen and Dundee.
Okay, now you've said that I can hear. I got in terrible trouble on Twitter because I forgot Gordon Brown's name on live TV and some woman went mental.
doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's just Gordon Brown.
A, it's just Gordon Brown, and B, I genuinely forgot, and she thought I was being a bit racist and trying to make a joke. I wasn't. I was on live TV. I'd been up since 5:30. It was 11:30 at night, and I'd forgot the blooming man's name. There's no crime against that.
No, that's fair enough. I wouldn't say there's nothing to complain about.
Thank you very much, James. Let's go to line 9. 9, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
It's Omar speaking.
Hello, Omar speaking. What can I do for thee?
What about Pradeep?
Man, I got a sore throat, but let me have a little bit of tea. Hang on.
Okay, cool. 1 second. I'm breathing as well.
Okay. Ready? Hang on a second. Let me just get this call. Hang on. Stay there. Stay there.
Okay.
Who's that who just called in? Hello?
Hello! It's Rob Belay!
Rob, I'm about to have a Pradeep with Omar, not the porn star. You're not the porn star, are you, Omar?
No, I'm not.
That's a shame. I'm a big fan of your work. Okay.
He's massive, that lad.
In movies, yes. Now, Rob, could you count us in, and then we're going to do a little Pradeep?
199.
From 3, I think, would be appropriate.
Just from 3, then?
From 3, yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go!
Pradeep. Oh. You started after me. You started after me, Omar. You were taking massive breaths, and I still kicked your ass. Thank you very much for calling, Omar. Rob Bonet.
Hey, old mate, you alright?
Hello there.
Right, you know this is recorded, isn't it? You edit it before it goes out.
It is recorded and it is edited before it goes out, yes.
So I could ask you a question.
Yes.
You could answer it, but you could bleep out crucial bits.
Yes, okay.
Oh, okay.
So go
okay.
on, ask me your question.
Alright then. Have you ever had sex with more than 2 ladies at once? Have you ever seen Daisy Donovan? Is Vinny a c**k?
Yes.
The best new game ever.
Line 3, you're live and you're through to Rob Bonet. Who's calling, please?
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Who's
that?
This is Jerry. Nice.
Hey, old Jerry, how's it going, man?
Oh, hello, mate. How's it going? Wee.
How's everyone else?
Is that
two people?
Not bad.
What?
Yeah. I'm confused. Is there 2 people on the line, or is it 1 person split personality?
I'm 1 person.
I'm person number 2.
I'm person number 1.
Cool.
I want to talk
about... How's it going, both, then?
Sexy animals.
Is he in there?
Oh.
Go on, then. Sexy animals.
Who will go?
Does anyone remember Crash Bandicoot?
Yes, I remember Crash Bandicoot.
In the Coco Bandicoot. Does that count, do you reckon?
She was fit.
She was fit. She was right.
Just for test, I think Kermit the Frog is by far better than the Crash Bandicoot. Actually,
what about,
is my hero.
What about Black Beauty?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's not really as good as the old Kermit, is it?
Does a lady animal become more sexy when she wears lady clothes?
Oh, Jesus, no.
Or no
Just
clothes.
Think of Kermit the Frog when he wore his little tuxedo. Very handsome.
But, like, when Bugs Bunny wore, like, an outfit and dressed up as a woman...
Oh, Jesus.
You'd look at him and go, yeah!
Oh. What about Sonic the Hedgehog? There was a girl hedgehog, wasn't there?
Amy, yeah.
Was there?
Susan the Hedgehog.
Amy,
I think it was called. She was alright.
I still think that...
Oh, no, what about Sue from Sooty and Sweep?
Sue! Now, she always looked filthy, Sue, did.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus Christ. We're all
Who do you think she would pick over Sweep and Sooty? Because, obviously, Sooty would be quieter in bed.
I still think that... Kermit the Frog is by far the nicest out of all
Kermit
of them.
The Frog.
Baza, where you Kermit been, Baza?
Yeah, this is slowly becoming like one of the top buses on the night bus, isn't it?
Baza, Baza, Baza from Oxford. How you doing, mate?
Robin Ake.
Get alive, Barry. Barry, you're the glue that holds this show together, mate. Barry's the glue that holds this show together.
Barry's on, mate.
Oh, he's it. It's Gatford. Yes, it's Gatford. How you doing, man? Yeah, I see, mate.
I'm back.
Good. Do you listen to my podcast? It's well funny. I do TV shows.
Yeah, whatever. What about Sue from City and Sweet? Let's talk about her more.
What about Miss Piggy?
Miss Piggy?
Muppets are mint.
This is getting very tedious.
Did I just do the M word?
No.
So basically, we're saying Sue would choose Sooty or Sweep. Which one?
Line 6, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is that Jimmy?
It is. Can you hear me?
Yes, Jimmy, I can hear you. Can you hear me, you muppet?
I can, Ian, yes. Thank you
for calling. What the bloody hell happened? Listen, for those who don't know, this is Jimmy Willis, who is now my new favourite broadcaster.
Well, thank you. Blow me.
It won't last. And I came on his radio show the other night. We're going to do it via Skype, and he muppet. There's an echo on this line, Jimmy. There is.
It was all part of the show.
You fool. Yeah, how are you doing, brother? You're right.
But yes, blimey, are you doing your podcast tonight? Are you?
I'm recording it now. You're part. You're part of it.
Well, thank you ever so much for calling me in. Is it going well so far?
This is the best phone in we've ever done.
Blimey.
So what I don't want you to ruin. Now listen, I'm going to go through the topics, Jimmy, and I want your honest answers, okay?
Okay, I'm ready, I think.
Sexy animal.
Badger.
Why a badger? Do you find tuberculosis erotic?
Yes. In some parts of the country, that is seen as a good thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Would you rather kiss Susan Boyle or David Cameron?
David Cameron.
Now, Susan Boyle's getting for a bit of a rough ride, or perhaps she's not in for a bit of a rough ride. I think she's all right.
No, I don't. Well, yeah.
Oh, you're not on the radio now, are you?
No, I'm not on the radio now, no.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Okay. Can you sum up your mum in one word?
Perfect.
Oh, you're Jimmy!
No, do you know what I'm doing this weekend, Ian?
But buying some badges for your mum?
No, I'm going back to the West Country tomorrow to see my mum to cook her dinner for Mother's Day. How soppy's that?
Yeah, well, Mother's Day's on Sunday.
Yes, but I'm staying there Sunday as well.
Okay, so is she going to cook you dinner on Saturday?
I wouldn't have thought so, no.
Well, then she's not perfect, is she? If she's not cooking you dinner...
I might take some washing with me or something.
I was about to say, how old are you, sir, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 28.
Really?
Yes.
I would get your picture redone. But you still take a big black bag of washing for mum to do, do you?
Yes.
You should get a girlfriend. Well, Jimmy, listen, it's good to talk to you. Let's sort out doing something on your show a little bit better one day, now that you've worked out how to do the Skype.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. And sorry, I would have been much more entertaining if I knew you were going to call.
Oh, it's all. I think it's all down to that Kathy girl. I think she. Let's be honest. She's the driving force of your show, sir.
Well, I'm sort of in bed at the moment, half asleep, because I'm very tired.
It's quarter to nine on a Friday. You're in bed.
I know. Well, I'm just. I'm trying to give up the partying lifestyle a little bit. So
hang on a
I'm
minute.
Standing
why,
and making some music.
Why are you in bed looking at your laptop?
I'm making music.
Yeah, I bet you are. You're sorting yourself out again, aren't you?
I've got a single coming out. I am.
Have you?
I honestly have. I'm a man of many trades.
What kind of genre is it?
It's sort of dance music. Sort of electro housey type stuff I make.
But so it's not you singing a song? Because I can imagine you doing a ballad like you doing Islands in the Stream would be awesome.
I know. I mean, I might do a bit of sort of Oasis, Wonderwall, maybe.
Jimmy, lovely to talk to you, and I will speak to you again soon, brother.
Oh, thanks ever so much for calling me, and be good.
Ta-ta, bye-bye. There we go. Take this last one. Line 9, you're live on the internet. Who's calling, please?
It's James again.
Hello, James again. What can I do for you?
About an hour later, I thought of a very substandard topic for the next caller.
Okay.
Billy Connolly, he isn't at all funny anymore.
And on that bombshell, James, we'll say goodnight. Thank you for calling back.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed episode 5 of the Ian Lee Pocket Radio Show. You've heard the adverts on here. They do work. If you'd like to advertise on the Pocket Radio Show, send me an email, ian@ianlee.com. ian@ianlee.com, and let's have a chat. Also, as always, I'm passing the metaphorical electronical hat around. And if you want to put a few electronic shekels in there, then please do. You don't have to. But it's kind of nice as I'm doing this and I'm not doing much else at the moment. So thank you very much. You can go to PayPal and pay ian@ianlee.com. And all of you that are doing that, thank you very, very much. It's much appreciated. Audioboo's coming up next. Some brilliant ones this week. Keep them coming. Send them to audioboo.fm/ianlee. Follow me on Twitter @ianlee. And do join the Facebook page, facebook.com/ianleeofficial. And one final beg, if you do download this on iTunes, then please leave nice comments and reviews and unsubscribe, then subscribe again, because it all helps me in the ratings battle. Audio Boo.
webbalconyshows.co.uk. Put a little spunk in your wardrobe today. T-shirts, hoodies, wallets, watches and more. We're your ironic retro online superstore.
BalconyShirts.co.uk. For 20% off everything, use promo code POCKETRADIO.
Yeah, sorry to trouble you. I wondered whether you could tell me what wee-wee is, please.
Wee-wee? Oh, get out of it. Get out of it.
Sorry to have troubled you.
You may call me Deep Throat. The one they call the Malaysian. He's British intelligence. Don't trust him. More details to follow.
Take 25. Bow, 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 bow.
Nailed it. Jackie Shroff is a bad man.
Hello. Deep Throat here. A word of warning. I believe. We have a meeting with the Malaysian at Salang Razak in Kuala Lumpur at 1300 hours. You must be careful. It is a trap. Take your pistol and your polonium 210. Heed my advice.
Friday, happy days, weekend comes, my cycle goes,
ready to rescue you. This is wrong.
I'll be free.
This is wrong.
Share that with me.
Bye, bright sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right, can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long. Happy days, Thursday, Friday, happy days, Saturday, what a day, moving all week with you. These days are all,
share them with me, those happy days.
These days are all,
happy and free.
Oh, baby, these happy days are yours and mine.
These happy days are yours and mine, happy days.
Hello, welcome to the bonus footage from episode 5. And I thought in this one I'd include, I did a podcast with some chaps. A guy called Elton got in touch with me via Twitter. I said, we do a little podcast, it's called Shonky Lab. We talk nonsense, do you want to come on it? Bang. I was in on it immediately. And basically, we had a very geeky chat. What you're about to hear is kind of the us discussing what we're going to talk about and then talking about it. A very geeky chat for Shonky Lab about the time travel movie Primer, which is completely impenetrable. Okay, if you've ever seen this film, wow. So there's three blokes trying to discuss and dissect the film Primer and failing miserably. I thought I'd put this on there because it just kind of shows you that there are some other great little podcasts going on out there. It's not just me. Let's be honest. Mine is excellent. But there are other great podcasts going out on there. And if you've got a good podcast, and if I've got the time, I'll come on it. Now, you know, you can ask me. You can email me, ian@ianlee.com. If I say no, it means either I think your podcast is rubbish, or I'm just saying no to things, which I sometimes do. It's good to say no to things. I don't. It's hard to do, but it's good. Or I just haven't got the time. But this Elton and Pete, I thought it was sounding very interesting. If you want to find out more about Shonky Lab, Shonky Lab, shonkylab.co.uk. Go and check them out. This is us recording an episode about Primer. Primer, not Primark. Yes, boss.
Hello there, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can, perfectly well.
Okay, I never trust Skype. There's something about it I don't like, and but good, it seems to be working, and that's good.
Yeah. That sounds good. It's good. Sounds good. You're not in your luxury recording studio then?
Yeah.
I thought so. It sounded pretty damn good, actually.
Yeah, I am. I am in my luxury. I've come all the way to Soho to my luxury recording studio for this. And it's not my spare room on my Mac at all.
Jolly good. Thank you very much for doing this anyway, man.
It's wicked. That's fine. Thank you. Thank you. I won't be able to say anything about Primer. It's the most complicated movie in the world.
Well, yeah, that's what I think I've worked it out. I'm not too sure.
Okay.
But I know that there's no other podcasts around at the moment with talking about Primer.
Exactly.
So this will be the go-to.
Hey, listen, did you get my message? Can I record this and put some of this on the end of one of my podcasts? Or would that go against completely everything you stand for? If it does, then say it and it'll be fine.
No, go for it.
I'm re-releasing the series one of Pocket Radio Show with like extra bits at the end. And I just thought that this might be a nice extra bit at the end. And then I can kind of send, you know, traffic, I believe they call it, towards you, your website and your podcast proper and stuff like that. But if you'd rather not, then just say it and it's all groovy.
No, you go for it.
Are you sure?
You got means of recording there as well, yeah?
I have got Audacity. I've got an engineer doing it for me with a 78-track mixing desk. aka Audacity.
See, he's joking, but he has, isn't he? You can tell he's got it there.
It's like, it's a millionaire's joke. Yeah, of course.
You can't reach one end of the mixing desk to another, can
you? No, you've only got extendable arms. go get your arm.
I've got two Chinese lads. One does the left end and one does the right end, and I do the middle. Is kind of how it works. So Elton, there's you. Who's now? There's another. I can hear another voice there. Who's that?
I'm Elton, and this is Pete Kelk.
I didn't need to know the full name, but I've got it. Hello, Pete. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. I am the other half of the Shonky Lab. Elton was very rude there, not introducing us.
Wasn't he awful?
It's terrible.
I'm going to have to listen to your podcast at some point. I should check it out.
Okay, right. Ian. Ian, there we go.
That was so much better. Should have done that 5 minutes ago.
Uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable, I found that, Elton, to be honest. A little bit false.
I have to deal with this on a weekly basis, Ian. What can I say?
So, what do you do in your? I am going to check your podcast out. I'm sorry that you know things have been a bit crazy this week. What do you do? You don't talk about Primer every week, do you? That would be insane.
This is episode 37 on Primer.
Oh Jesus, man! I admire your dedication.
we hope by episode 150 to have the first part sorted out. No, we talk rubbish, to be honest with you, Ian. Just
I like it.
Weekly rubbish, you know. We try and do a film once every 4 weeks. A bit of news, freaky news, whatever's going on. Favourite spaceships, camping, zombie apocalypse, you name it. We've chatted about it.
I'm totally there. I'm gonna download it.
Good man. Good man. That's what we like to hear. Em's actually got a giant smile on his face now. He's so happy, mate.
No, I will. I will download it, and I'd send me the links and stuff, and I'll tweet what I believe the kids say. I'll tweet the shit out of it.
Good man.
That would do me fine. That's grand.
That'd be brilliant. We'd appreciate that.
Not a problem at all.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it, mate. Most people seem to.
Cool.
Most people do say they hate it.
Yes.
Right, should I just crack on with the introduction and
do
start?
It. Do it.
We could be here all night.
Right, okay.
It's literally just old. But now this will be a good podcast, just old men talking about kids and neighbours and stuff.
Next time, mate.
Okay, right, go on. Yes, Elton, start the show now. Beep.
Okay.
You going to keep that cough in or cut that bit out? Or is that your trademark?
The show.
Maybe
that's
your
how we
trademark.
Do it every week.
Okay, I apologise. Sorry, I should have listened. That's my fault. Okay. Oh, someone
ready?
Snorted. That was good. Okay, yes. Right, I'm shutting up. Go, do it.
Right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Shonky Lab, episode 4, season 2. Series 2, sorry. I keep getting that wrong. Series 2. I'm Elton McManus, and joining me today are two wonderful guests. I have the normal guest, which is Mr. Pete Kelk. Say hello, Pete.
Hello, everybody.
And we have a very special guest, a man of radio and TV. You do want radio and TV or TV and radio?
Well, I'm neither at the moment, so I don't, you know, it's very polite of you to mention those shadows from my past. Thank you.
Okay, kind. Well, we go with radio and TV.
So hang on a minute. Pete's on air every week, is he?
Yes.
But you can't introduce him as a guest, Elton. That's just plain rude.
Elton's shit at this bit, to be honest with you.
Well, once we get rolling, then we're good.
Hello, everyone. It's Pete Kelk here, once again on the Shonky Lab, as ever, with my good friend, Mr. Elton McManus.
Hello.
Here you go, Elton.
Hello. How are
and
you?
Tonight we are joined with the wonderful Mr. Ian Lee.
Good evening, good morning, wherever you are in cyberspace, isn't life wonderful?
It's rosy at the moment,
It's all right, isn't it? It's all right. It's got its ups and downs, but right this very second, it's fun. We're about to have a very geeky chat. It turns out that when you sent me this email, I was asking if I'd be on it. I was kind of worried that you were mental, people. And you're not as mental as I thought you were going to be, so that's a bonus.
That's good. Yeah. At least we're not tipping over the scales just yet.
Not yet. We'll see how this chat goes.
Yes. Well, the reason why I personally invited you onto this show is because you introduced me to this movie. We are going to be doing...
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
We're going to be talking about Primer today. I think you mentioned this on the Lost Initiative at one point or another.
I'm pretty sure you did. I probably did, yes. I probably would have mentioned it because there's... there were elements in Lost about time travel that turned out at the end of season 6 they were irrelevant. the whole of series 5 was pointless. And that was the best series. But yes, I think I did allude to Primer at some point, yes.
Yeah, so from that, I had decided, oh, I like time travel, as every guy does.
Of course. Girls don't get it, but blokes love it, yeah.
Exactly, yes. And so I decided to hunt this movie down. It took me a little while to find it. And quickly fell in love with it, to be honest.
Isn't it wonderful?
I still don't get it. Even though we're recording now, there are parts of it that I still don't get.
Well, I watched it. I can't remember how I discovered it. Someone would have recommended it to me. I think it may have been Geeky Tom, actually, from the Lost podcast, who pointed me in the direction of it, because he told me about that and Time Crimes, which, if you've not seen, again, is another fantastic time travel movie. I watched it, and it's only short. It's only about 85 minutes or something, isn't it? It's not very long.
Tiny.
And I enjoyed every second of it, and I came away not having a clue what had just happened.
Yeah, I didn't understand it one little bit. I think if you watch it for the very first time and you understand what's going on, you're a big fat fibber.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I watched it and then I looked it up online it turns out I'd completely misunderstood everything. I've got the map in front of me, which I'm assuming you've both seen. The time map.
And is that the loop map?
It's the loop map. It's the primer chart. It's called lots of different things. And I looked at it and went, what? We may be jumping ahead slightly, but I completely not picked up on about 80%, 90% of what had happened in the movie.
I did exactly the same. I watched it. I went to the internet to find out what the hell I just saw.
Yeah.
And then watched it again.
Yeah.
And then went back to the map and I didn't understand it again. And so I think this last week I've watched it around about four times.
Brilliant.
Just
that's
to make sure.
Dedication for you.
Here's a tip. Don't watch it with the director's commentary, right? Because you think you're going to get answers and you don't. You get the guy that made it is wonderful. He's a proper geek, and it's just a geeky filmmaker's commentary. It gives you no clues as to what's going on. So I thought he'd be saying, right, well, in this scene, this is timeline 3, and what they're doing is they've got timeline 6, and blah, blah, blah. Doesn't do any of that. He's talking about lenses and stuff like that. So it offers you nothing in the way of insight.
I was thinking about diving into the director's commentary, but I'm glad I didn't now.
There's another commentary. There's another commentary with the cast, I think. And I'm going to do that at some point soon, because I think that hopefully that'll give us some clues.
Mm, right. Well, this movie was made by Seth, what was his last name, McCurrath or something?
Something like that.
Something.
Well researched, though, guys. Great work there.
We get back to the point. This is a shonky lab.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
The lab, right, and the research bit. No, the shonky first.
Yeah, Shane Carruth is his name. Shane Carruth.
That's it.
That's
yes.
The fellow.
Yeah.
I'm IMDBing it. I've seen IMDB, which I normally, if I'm in Blockbusters, I'll always IMDB a film. And if it's got over 7.2, I'll get it out. It's only got 6.9 Primer.
Yeah, not a lot of people got it, I don't think.
No. Shameful. Shame on them. We should probably say, kind of allude to what the film is about, perhaps, because we're not really saying anything about it.
No.
Elton, I'll let you do that.
That's fine. Thank you very much for me grabbing the reins. right, well, the movie came out in 2004, off the top of my head. It was made for $7,000, yep. Which is unbelievable, to be honest. I think the return, off the top of my head again, was $424,000 in the box office.
That's a good investment.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's like 6,000 times or something, isn't it? Something like that, anyway.
Yeah, why not? Let's say yes.
Yeah, but it was written by the same guy. It was edited by the same guy. The music was by this Seth guy as well.
Shane.
Another edit there. it was directed and scored by the same person, and it's nice because it's from an engineering perspective as well. It's basically the synopsis of the movie is four guys working in a garage, and that they want to move on to bigger and better things from working on these tiny little boards that they're sending out to people, and they accidentally come across time travel. Now, the reason why they do come across time travel is they're trying to create a system where they can make things lighter to transport things.
Is that what they're doing? Okay.
That was the original. That's right. The original device they're trying to create, isn't it?
Because I found the first 10 minutes of the film impenetrable, and it's quite dull the first 10 minutes in a really good way. Now I've seen the whole film, but it's just four blokes chatting around a kitchen table about science and stuff, and so it kind of lost me there.
Well, I think that's the whole genius point of this movie is because that Shane, not Seth.
Yes,
he's got a degree in engineering.
Yeah,
and so he's put that to practice and decided to make this movie. But it's made intentionally complicated.
Yes,
with all the over talking of everyone, half sentences here and there, lots of technical terms as well, and.
It's how someone who'd never made a film before would make a film, because that's how real people talk. But in films, you're not allowed to do that. In films, it's right. You say something, then you say something, and Shane has filmed it like people having a proper chat, and he's not dumbed it down in any way. And you're right. That's what makes it so good, I think.
Well, yeah, it kind of grabs you in as well, and also confuses you at the same time. And there's no time travel at this point anyway. I think the first time travel was up like 15, 20 minutes into the movie.
And you never see those other two lads again, do you? They kind of, they get, as soon as the two main people have got the time travel, they're like, yeah, forget the other two. They don't even exist, really, so they never get mentioned again.
Oh, well, no, they crop up later on. They crop up at the very end. They're the reason for the party.
Yes, you're right, at the very end, yes.
Yeah,
yeah, but then that is part and parcel of the whole film, isn't it? I mean, what they're trying to say is they're trying to study not only the effects of the time travel, but the effect of on people. I mean, they completely change once they realise what they've discovered. They're like, bing, you know, they're just thinking of the money, and straight away they're not thinking of anything other than how much money can we make out of this?
Yeah.
But I do know that Shane he did intentionally make it quite geeky because he's from an engineering background. He knows that a lot of inventions are completely and utterly mistakes, which is exactly what's occurred here. You know, it's just like, let's make something to alter the effects of gravity, and hey, we've made a time machine, you know. And I think that's kind of cool, to be honest with you. I love the fact that he hasn't dumbed it down, and it's just like, you know, he has really gone for it and just said, you know. But then a lot of us complain, you know, I'm one of them, you know, I hate it when they totally dumb down a film.
Yeah,
you know, when it's just like everything is handed to you on a plate. But then by the same token, yeah, I mean, you guys are talking about going away from the film and having a look at stuff. I mean, myself and my wife watched it, and we were just totally blown away. And then we actually went onto YouTube, and there's like a thing on YouTube which was Primer, I'm doing the little air quotes here, for dummies. And we were watching it, and we were like, what?
I've not seen that. But again, that's the sign of how brilliant this film is, right? The fact that it is impenetrable, and none of us particularly understood it, but it wasn't boring. So quite often I've seen films that I've not understood, and I've walked away going, well, that was rubbish. But we've all gone off and done a little bit of research, or quite extensive research afterwards, to try and find out a bit more about it. And that's where the genius is that it leaves you wanting to find out more about it.
Oh, absolutely no question. There is no... I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I wasn't entirely looking forward to seeing Primer again for this show.
Yeah.
I mean, I tweeted it. I was like, you know, oh, I've got to go and watch Primer now. I'm like, you know, because I'm remembering, like, all that, like, what the hell is going on? But the second I put that on, I was taken by it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm there, you know? And I was there for the whole hour and 10 minutes. And at the end of it, I'm like, that made a little bit more sense. I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah.
It's just like, and I know that if I leave it now for 5 months and you said to me, let's watch Primer, I'd be like, oh, that gives me such a headache. Let's watch it. Yeah. Just like,
it's one of those films you need to watch again and again and again. And a little bit, I've seen it 3 times and then a 4th time with the director's commentary. And you just get a little bit clicks in place each time you watch it. You go, oh, okay, so that's how that links up. That's who those guys are.
Yeah, definitely. It also is a gorgeous movie to look at as well, I think, anyway.
I'll tell you what, I mean, for an engineer, sorry, and I'm a photographer and videographer, so...
Oh, for God's sake.
Sorry, mate. Some of the shots he's got, like the opening sequence, when you're just looking through the holes in the garage door,
yeah.
It's from above, and the light flicks on. man, that's just fantastic. I love that.
It's that
just
thing of not. It's that thing of not knowing what the rules are. So you go, right, I want to do this. Now, absolutely. a lot of photographers and cinematographers will go, well, yeah, well, we can't. Or you're going to need a crane. It's going to cost half a million. He goes, I want this. Let's. Why don't we try it this way? An interesting thing, and I didn't notice it until I'd read about it, and kind of like a critique of his filmmaking style, is that a lot of it is out of focus because they didn't have enough film to keep reshooting it. A lot of it is like first, second take maximum. So they didn't have enough, they couldn't reshoot stuff if it was out of focus. So a lot of it, if you look, yeah, you know, it's kind of a little bit blurry or the camera's not quite pointing in the right place. But again, it all just adds, this guy's first film and it's amazing.
Yeah, well, the scene where they're around the fountain, it's very, very grainy. It's definitely not in high def. And it kind of looks out of place, but then you understand, you know, he was on
light. he didn't know how to light it. So he just
that's why they had torches.
Yeah.
But that's it. I mean, purely by accident or just by engineering terms, it's like, right, what do we need to get this shot? This. That's it. Okay, let's go for it. Done. Mm. You know, I need a shot from up there. Right, get the nail gun. I'll nail that damn camera up there. Yeah. You can just imagine him doing it. But it really works so well. He's done such a good job. I mean, when I read the bio on him, I'm like, God, this guy's not even out of college. He's not gone into university.
Yeah.
He's an engineer that's picked up a camera, got an idea for a film, and just run with it.
Yeah.
Bastard. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
It gets right on my nerves.
But when you watched it, okay, how many timelines did you think there were? I came away thinking there were three timelines.
I think on the very first and second watch, I thought there was around about three. I have to admit, I'm not too sure how many there are.
I'll be honest with you. The first watch, I got lost when the father-in-law got involved. I was thinking two timelines. And it's after the second time, I was like, oh, that's a third timeline. Mm. And now I'm still not entirely sure if I'm honest.
I have the map in front of me. There are nine timelines. There are nine different, and I saw that after my first viewing, and I'm like, what? And there are nine different timelines, and I'm looking at the map now, and it still makes no sense whatsoever.
There are sections where you think you're watching the same scene,
yeah,
but it's jumping in between two timelines,
yeah.
And so only on around that fourth or fifth watch that I actually realised that, and I thought, ah. And there's even bits where they're talking in the party where Abe has his earphone out and then also has his earphone in. We're getting to that in a minute anyway. But you realise, that's two timelines there and they're running parallel with each other. But I didn't realise.
And Abe and Aaron, I'm looking at this map now, and so there are bits when, like, Abe 1 is with Aaron 2 and Abe 2 is with Aaron 3. So the timelines are kind of crossing over. But you mentioned two things there. Is the father-in-law, isn't it?
That's right.
Kind of pops up because that is the bit, the bearded father-in-law, where, and there is no explanation for that on the internet at all. You know,
I have got one actually.
Oh, go on, go. Let's have it.
It's Francis Shannon, Shanahan.com. Now her explanation is, and I can kind of go with this. The only because obviously, if you remember when they first develop it, they start networking.
Yeah,
that's when they start trying to get the money. They can't get the money without fully explaining to everyone what they've developed. Mm. And obviously they don't want to come out with it in case it's recreated. The joy of it is just having the one. So they kind of get down to the point where their last form of income is this guy, the father-in-law Granger. It's an assumption on her part, but it is just literally that Abe has basically gone to him and said, look, this is what we've developed to try and get the money to develop more. And he's then used it without consent.
But he's all bearded and feral, isn't he? See, there's a film in itself, is what happens to him.
Well, that's it. But they say they're talking about the... Because you can't write after a period of time. Once you start going through, you start losing the ability to write.
You become like a bad photocopy, don't you? You keep photocopying or recopying a video, then you kind of lose a bit of the definition, and that's what's happening to them.
Yeah.
And then, the ear bleeding as well, which was a bit of a freaky thing.
The thing that you mentioned the earpiece, that was the thing when I was watching it, and I was kind of enjoying it, and then I saw the earpiece and I thought, oh, I don't know what's happening, Nate. It turns out I'm not understanding this film as I'm watching it, because that is obviously very, very significant, and I've got no idea why. And it's not until quite a bit later on. I mean, they never sit down and explain why he's got the earpiece in specifically, but it kind of makes sense. But that was a great moment when you first see him with the earpiece and go, hang on a minute, what's going on there?
Well, let's jump very quickly back to the very, very beginning of the movie.
Yes.
And we have a phone conversation, or literally a phone recording of Aaron phoning up. So I think he's phoning Abe. Now, what does everyone think? What version of Aaron? See, they called Abe and Aaron. That's even more confusing as well.
Straight away. They should have gone for Pete Nelson.
Git. But anyway, what version of Aaron was on the phone there?
Oh, jeez, man. I'm looking at the map to try and find an answer. I don't know. Pete, any ideas?
I thought that was Aaron 3.
I thought that was Aaron 3 as well, the one that goes to France.
Yeah, the one that goes off and creates the giant, or ultimately looks like he's going to create a giant box.
Yeah.
Well, now you've jumped straight to the ending of the film. Is that actually what he's doing, that he's making a giant box?
Yes.
That's what it looks, because essentially they end up in a timeline where they exist and their two earlier copies of them exist as well, isn't it? And that's what he says, is basically Abe says to Aaron, he's going to sabotage their time machine equipment, isn't it? So they end up in a timeline where there's two lots of them. So he goes off to France, and that's what he's saying. He's like, right, I need the steel to go all the way down here. He's building himself a giant box. That's the assumption I always made.
I'm realizing what we're actually doing. We're talking, and if you splice up this podcast, you'll be able to put it into a sequential order.
We're like
where
Memento.
It actually makes sense.
Yeah, we're like Memento, the director's the Easter egg of Memento, which I only watched for the first time the other day. I enjoyed that. It was good, that film.
Really?
Yeah,
that is a fantastic film. I love that film.
No, really, really good.
Haven't seen it, surprisingly.
Oh, yeah, no, and everyone said that to me. I watched it 2 weeks ago. It's a cracking film. Well, it's not time travel, but it's it has similarities to Primer, actually, in kind of the way it's structured. But it's a good film. Anyway, yes.
No question. No, I love that film, definitely.
Okay, so in this, who actually discovered the time travel itself first, do you reckon?
That's Abe.
Abe does. Abe's the one that kind of says, hey, come and have a look what I've got.
Ah, so, okay, at that point, does he make a box?
Well, he makes the fail-safe, doesn't he? The fail-safe is the one that he starts running as soon as he realises what's going on, so that if everything fucks up in the next however long they're going to be messing around with this stuff, he can go back and reset the clock, kind of.
Yeah, that's true. But if he's made a fail-safe, as soon as he turns it on, do you not think that Aaron or Abe should turn up outside of that box straight away? Because that is the failsafe to get back to correct everything. So as soon as he makes that and turns it on, that is the point where he returns to.
No. Because that hasn't happened yet. I'm kind of...
I do know what you're saying, Aaron. I do know what you're saying, yeah.
I know what you're saying, Aaron, but you're wrong.
If you go into a failsafe in that point, then you don't have that turning it on. Mind you, they have it turned on by timers, don't they?
Yes.
So you probably just set it for a timer to start 20 minutes down the line.
Oh, no, that's not the very first one.
No, but the failsafe, the failsafe, he starts the failsafe and he leaves that. That's in, let's say, room 2 in the big yellow storage place, right? And he leaves and that just runs for the entire length of the movie until he realises that he needs to go and reset everything. And then he jumps in it. So he won't jump out of it once he turns it on, because that hasn't happened. That has to happen before he can jump out of it.
Okay, then. Well, if we're talking that, eventually Aaron finds that box, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yes.
And he goes in that box to go back in time to the failsafe point with a box.
Yes.
So he's got his own fail-safe timeline. At some point in time, they must have both been in that box when Abe goes back as well. Is that right? Or am I getting that completely wrong? Or was that a completely different timeline?
No, that would be the same timeline. Oh, no. What would happen is... God, we're jumping all over the
place. Oh, man, this hurts. Aaron, I need to watch Aaron this film. We're talking about a different film, I think.
Yeah. Aaron finds the fail-safe
and
jumps in there with a box.
Yeah.
Once he gets to side A... he turns the box on again, because that's where it started. So you will not have Abe in the same box at the same time. because he's turned it on again.
Doesn't he turn the box off? Once he gets out, doesn't he turn the box off?
No, because he turns it on, so Abe... Because then he...
But the box is on!
But he becomes the primer.
Yeah,
they turn them off to get in and then travel back, don't they? But that's at side B.
Yeah, if you say so.
But then... but when he gets out, he'd have to turn the box on again. No, it would be on.
Okay, now listen, I'm looking at the map, right? So Abe Zero starts 30-minute timer for the fail-safe box and leaves.
Yeah.
Right? Then 30 minutes later, fail-safe Zero starts. Oh, no, you're right. Look, Aaron 2 exits from the box and brings Aaron 1... Sure, go on. Whatever.
I can hear the blood coming out of your ear right now.
Yeah. I'm worried that I'm going to analyse it too much and then stop enjoying it, because the joy is that I don't know what's going on, and it is ridiculously complicated. What on earth were they thinking? But it's so good.
I understand the over-analysing. There's lots and lots of shots in this movie as well, especially they're very, very subtle. In the very beginning, you have the shutters of the garage come down, and you see the guy, all four guys, through the four windows. I'm thinking maybe there's four boxes, and that is symbolizing four boxes, because Aaron walks past all four windows. And it's subtle little things like that. Also, when they're at the fountain, they have the torches, and they're flashing the torches around the fountain.
Yeah.
That is supposed to symbolize the A and B travel. Does that make sense?
No, none whatsoever.
None? Oh, okay. Right, when Abe is trying...
Why are you talking about four people having boxes? Where does that come from?
No, no, I'm just saying that there are four boxes. There are the two fail-safes and the two ones that Abe and Aaron jointly carry on. The box, the windows of the garage symbolise the four boxes.
Okay, fair enough.
It's all about symbolism, I suppose. But there's at the fountain, they have the torches. And you know the drawing that Aaron drew when Abe was trying to talk about going in at the AN, coming out at the BN? And that is supposed to symbolise it. The lights going round the torch, round the fountains, is supposed to symbolise that. Also, when he has the basketball in his hand and he's flipping it around his body, that's supposed to symbolise the travel of the Weeble going round from A to BN, A to BN, A to BN, and that's how they count out their time.
I'm going to take your word for that, Elton, because it sounds like you said it with confidence, and that's good enough for me.
There's so many good things about that. Right, okay, I'll pick both your brains on this one.
Yes, come on.
When Abe comes to Aaron and Aaron is sitting on the bench in the park.
Yes.
What Aaron is that sitting on there? And is he recording or is he listening to himself speaking?
Are you talking about towards the end?
No, the very beginning.
Oh, the beginning.
Yeah, at the beginning of the movie when Abe comes along and he says, well, you know, I found a wonderful thing. What happens if I told you about this?
It's Abe 1. I'm looking at the map, right? I'm not getting left out in this conversation. It's Abe 1 is talking to Aaron 2. Aaron 2 records the conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's recording it then. Okay.
That's what I would have said as well, yeah.
Yes.
Ah, okay. But then that's Aaron 2, so he already knows what is going on.
To a certain extent.
Because they've already had that conversation, but then he has to have it again to record it.
Oh, I just want to cry. I really do want to cry. And people are listening to this and haven't seen the film. They're going to go, I ain't never watching Primer. Because that's some bad shit. this is probably making the waters a lot muddier than it's just, I'm literally lost for words, and that very rarely happens to me.
Can we write to the News of the World about that?
if they hadn't closed down for for naughty shenanigans, then yes, you could
absolutely. other than that, I mean, if you take away from the incredibly in depth time travel parts of it, there are some just fantastic fantastic moments in this film. Even if you don't think about the actual time travel parts of it, for a very, very cheap film, this is just awesome. And it does make you think. I mean, the problem is, possibly you're right, it does make you think too damn deeply about it.
Yeah.
I think you can get to a point where you're like, you're going round and round and round, just like those two guys are. But I mean, if you take that away from it, I still love this movie. I love the way it's shot. I love the fact it's done cheaply. I even like the fact that they're doing everything in one or two takes, because you just can't do that in Hollywood, can you?
No.
But that's just awesome.
Is it Aaron who has the fight with Aaron? Who?
Yes.
The Aaron drugs Aaron, and then has a fight with him, but loses. But doesn't he lose the fight? And so one of the Aarons says to the other Aaron, "Look, you need to go and sort this out." But yeah, then he locks him in the loft, and they think it's rats, but it's Aaron. I think.
Why does he lock himself in the loft? I'm still not sure about
to
that.
To take himself out of the loop, so he can. Oh. I nearly had it then.
you just grasp it and then it just slips through your fingers. That's the problem.
Yeah. I understood it from the point where they find Granger and he collapses.
Yeah.
He has
slips
like
into a coma.
Yeah. He has like a 3 or 4 day growth. I think he jumped into the failsafe because it'll take 3 or 4 days to get back to the very beginning, wouldn't it? And so he's all disorientated and that's why he falls over and slips into a coma. Then Abe goes back in his failsafe to try and reset everything. That's why he starts gassing himself and putting himself in the cupboard. And that is why Abe goes back and does the same thing to himself. Drugs himself while he's eating cornflakes.
Do you mean Aaron?
I did.
Oh. let's move away slightly. The amazing thing is that Shane Carruth, yes. Never, until recently with Looper, which he's worked on, never made another film.
I know, that's crazy, isn't it? I thought it was jump.